This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Important stuff here, and that goes beyond Lee Smith's status through 6 weeks. Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR. I am a magician, apparently, but I'm like a magician that doesn't really know exactly how to undo the spell. All right, just stop, Mike. So I finally have like a real mask, guys. It's Amherst Knights hockey, my daughter's hockey team, and it's nice. Like, it's a nice mask. It's not the paper ones you throw out, and it's not the piece of my T-shirt that my daughter made into a mask when this all started. It's like a real one. Somebody bought this. And so I have glasses. I put it on. I'm wearing my glasses, right? Mm-hmm. Sal, do you wear glasses? I don't think I see you in glasses.
I've never worn glasses. They actually hurt my eyes. I have very good eyesight, actually.
That's about to end.
But
excellent for you.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I'll tell you, there are these special glasses just for when you have, you know, when you look at a computer screen, as you guys know, you can use those. Mm-hmm. And my wife actually recently got those for everyone, including Max, and just said, you know, just it'll help the strain on your eyes. But I feel very uncomfortable wearing them. But maybe in the long run it would work, but I've never worn glasses.
You're about to. You're a year away. Because I was not expecting the doctor to tell me, well, at 50, you will definitely have, you know, worse vision. Anyway, I'm not 50 yet, but I put the mask on with the glasses on, and then to take it off, I have to take the glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
You know this one?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole process.
How does that happen? How does the mask get tangled up with the, what? What's the word?
String?
No, the the side, the so
yeah,
stupid.
The
glasses.
I don't know, but it does. There's also a fogging. You get some fogging. You got to position the glasses just so, for me anyway, the bottom of my glasses overlap on top of the mask. Otherwise, when I'm breathing with a mask on, like say in the grocery store, it just goes right up and fogs my glasses up and makes my glasses pretty much useless.
I do wear sunglasses a lot, and both of those things happen to me actually a lot.
Okay, like you got to pinch the mask so you try to keep the fogging from happening, but I don't understand how I'm wrapping the mask string around the end of the glasses just by putting it out over my ears, because I take it off. I always have to take the glasses off. There's something weird to me about that. All right, and let's just skip Lee Smith. There's no time for that now. Quentin Spain. So, Sal, I don't know what you know, but I know what you've written and that the Bills have released him. There's a dead cap number that seems significant. There are injuries up front, so it's curious. Do you suspect, at least, that there is something more to their releasing him that goes beyond performance?
I suspect that Quentin Spain wasn't happy with his reduced role. And in fact, Brandon Bean actually has said that since to ESPN. His quote said, "I don't think that set well with him," meaning him losing his starting job. And then he made it clear and said, "Those are my words," Brandon Bean said, "not his words," meaning not Quentin Spain's words. But I believe that is the case. And anytime that's the case, I think you have to be careful of how that's going to permeate or what his attitude might be. I have no information whatsoever that he had any, you know, bad attitude necessarily in practice, in the locker room, coaches, nothing like that. But I do think that when even the GM admits in a quote and saying, I don't think it sat well with him losing his starting job, I think that can give you a little bit of a window into maybe what was going on. That happened. And then just a couple of weeks later, you know, he informs the team and we find out literally what, a half hour before the inactives are due, that he has a foot injury, or his foot soreness is going to keep him out of a Tennessee Titans game, which that's against his former team. And, you know, that seemed a bit odd for the team to even put it out that way, which was that he has informed the team that he has foot soreness. He will be added to the injury report and inactive tonight. And then, you know, he didn't play last week. So it just seems like there's a lot there. And sometimes when there's a lot there, it's better to just move on so it doesn't become even more there.
Well, for them, yeah. For us, I never want to stop talking about this until we figure out what the hell happened.
Sure.
Like, what his performance-wise, Sal, I mean, I've not gone back over the first two games and broken down the play of the left guard, okay? Newsflash. But, like, how warranted was it? And especially now, considering that they've got injuries there. I mean, this is accompanied by Cody Ford being out weeks, who was the left guard who took Spain's place. Basically, they moved him from one side of the line to the other. How did you think he played in the first 2 weeks when he had a chance to play?
I didn't think he played spectacularly well, but I don't think he was alone in that. I think that the offensive line has struggled at a lot of times this year. I didn't think he played. He didn't stand out. And, you know, when he was put to the bench and Cody Ford was put to left guard, it wasn't like, oh my God, what are they doing? This guy has played really well. To me, that was more about Cody Ford than it was Quentin Spain, but of course it was about both of them, right? I mean, you don't make that move if you're paying the guy $5 million a year and it's only been two games. But to me, it was, okay, we have to find a way to get Cody Ford on the field, and they must have felt we want him at guard, and we just don't feel the level of play to Quentin Spain has been up to par, which I totally understand that, because I don't think it was necessarily up to par for a lot of guys along the offensive line. I thought Darrell Williams might have struggled early on. I think he's played a little bit better as of late. But so to what you said now about you go forward here, and now Ford is injured, and on top of that, you still make this move when you have Quentin Spain. I think that can also give us a little insight into he was not in their plans anymore. It's just as simple as that. They must have decided, like, we're just not going to do this. We have another plan here. Even though Cody Ford's injured, we're not going to go down that road with Quentin Spain anymore. That ship has sailed. Ike Butker actually came in the game and played for Cody Ford when he was injured on Monday. So I think that even though Cody Ford was hurt, I don't think Quentin Spain was ever truly an option after that happened.
Yeah, it's weird, though, that they signed him, right? Like, it's a quick turn of events when you sign the player like this, and then, like, when would you ever be done like this when you're not deep in the first place if there weren't, I mean, if I need to say so, I think there's something else here, too. I don't know who's to blame for it or who's responsible for it, but, geez, right? Like, why would you sign the player? Well, it's not why would you sign him. It's that you've signed him. Since you've signed him, to bail like that and pay the cap penalty and everything is just something they must have thought was serious.
You never know what happens with guys. You know, once, you know, anything can always change something, right? But he gets paid. He's here. Maybe he wasn't doing what they thought in the offseason, or he comes in and he's more out of shape, which I find hard to believe considering he won, like, their award for, like, they have some belt that he showed off on Twitter that he won, you know, from the team, you know what I mean? So I doubt that was it. But you just never know how these things sour. You never know what happened. And as far as the penalty is concerned, there is a penalty this year, and there's a slight one next year. But to be honest with you, Mike, the contract was structured that I would have been surprised if he actually would have been in Buffalo after this year, unless he played really well. Like, once they put him to the bench, I was pretty convinced he was only going to be in Buffalo for one more year, like this year. There's no way to me they're keeping him on the bench at the salary he's making when you can get out of that contract pretty easily. As I wrote today at our website, I was in contact with Michael Giannetti from SpotTrack just to get some clarification. He tweeted some stuff out, but he told me too, just to make sure, they're going to save a lot more money on the cap than anything they cost. It will be a $1 million cap hit next year. It is a $4 million cap hit essentially this year, which you do have to eat, but that kind of doesn't matter at this point. But next year, you're going to be clearing. In fact, over the next 2 years combined, you're clearing about $10 million in salary cap space.
Well, you need him. You don't need him. You just this year is in play. Like it's this season, and they're, you know, not deep or really good right there right now. So we'll see what they do. Like with the story about Ryan Fitzpatrick, all right, well, he's been doing well, but I get it. This guy better do well, right? Like, you've got a season going. And that's it for the Bills. Like, they might have someone else in mind who they'll bring in or whatever it'll be, but...
Well, they do have an option here coming up, and that is John Feliciano.
Right.
I mean, I think that John Feliciano, to me, makes this a lot easier to swallow from the standpoint of on the field because of... Let's go back to what we just said about, okay, so Cody Ford gets hurt. You're like, wait a minute, but you're releasing your backup to Cody Ford, who was your starter and, you know, played well last year. But let's remember, John Feliciano is eligible to be activated from the injured reserve, and if he isn't activated by next Tuesday... They basically lose him. Now, I haven't had clarification on if they lose him for 3 more weeks or if it's for the season because there is no season-ending IR this year. It complicates matters. But I would actually tell you that I assume him to be activated either this week or next week because they did start that clock on him. They were comfortable enough with him practicing starting back on October 7th. From there, he gets 21 days. So if you count the 7th, that takes you to the 27th. All right, so... Let's just say he gets activated by Sunday, John Feliciano. Now he becomes your starting right guard, and Brian Winters probably goes to left. I mean, you could put Feliciano at left guard. He's played there, but his spot on the Bills roster has primarily been right guard. They also have Darrell Williams if they really wanted to move him inside, and Ty Nsekhe could play right tackle. Oh, I guess what I'm saying is they do have options here. It wasn't like Quentin Spain releasing him puts them in some sort of hole. The Feliciano activation gives them a lot more options.
It's really interesting. I think, you know, McDermott has earned a lot of trust. I assume from the players, of course. But even from out here, I think, you know, like, okay, well, they know what they're doing. But it feels a little bit to me like he's really taken that for a spin this week because you benched trusted veteran guys, one of whom busted his butt to get back from an injury in Phillips and then Trent Murphy last week. And now this move with Spain, I mean, I don't know the politics and how popular a teammate he is. But there's been pretty rocky here in Bills land for a couple days with some veterans kind of getting smacked.
Agreed. I think this has been a time to test that, you know, in the locker room. Sean McDermott test, you know, the resolve of the team, something that is very important to this group, to this regime, something that, you know, they preach on. And, you know, I have no indication that anything's going wayward, but I do agree with you. I think that this has been kind of the first sign of, okay, how do you handle this, right? How do you get through this? Because there's ways to go about that. There's ways not to go about that. Look what's happening in Dallas. We're getting all these quotes from players, anonymous players or whoever, you know, just trashing their coaching staff since Monday night. You know, we haven't had that. Even Quentin Spain thanked the Bills on his way out today, right? So we haven't necessarily had any of that, and I don't expect any of that. And to be honest with you, knowing Sean McDermott the way I do and covering him now for the last 3+ years, I think he's very good at the way he goes about the relationships he has with players. And he did talk with Trent Murphy, and he did talk with Harrison Phillips, and he was asked about that, and he said they handled it like professionals. But you know, he's going to have a honest, candid conversation with them about why they're not going to play. It's not going to come out of the blue necessarily, you know, when they're going to hear it in the media, I would think. So I think he has a good way about him to do that. But I also agree, Bulldog, that, you know, it's been a challenging couple of weeks because when you lose and those things are happening, it makes it a lot more challenging. Now they do have the Jets here. I think a lot of people, you know, expect them to, you know, have a game where they don't have to even play their best and they're going to get a win, and that can fix a lot of things. But, you know, this is an interesting time, I think, for the last few weeks for the Bills.
Would you care to say a little bit more about this point about McDermott and players? Because I could learn from this, and I'd like to hear what – I'm not sure specifics are possible, but say – let me just – I'll just talk. Rex Ryan, he was, of course, McDermott's predecessor, and, you know, you would hear players coach – which I usually in sports take to mean he's not rigid. Like he's going to let you do you, if you will. And I don't know that I've heard McDermott called a player's coach, but I've certainly heard you say, and I have heard other people say, like I would say it myself probably, like that he has shown a pretty good touch with that. I mean, I'm not watching him talk to players, but I feel like that's probably right. But would you say player's coach, or is that a misinterpretation of that term? Because I feel like Rex kind of got criticized for it, right? Like he would be pretty loose. And so what's the opposite? What's the opposite of loose? What's the opposite of, you know, rigid? These kinds of definitions. I want to be more accurate with what I know about McDermott in this area.
Okay, well, I think that the words you can use, Mike, are consistent and trust. I think those are the words that come to my mind when I think about the way Sean McDermott is viewed by his players. And I really think that that was kind of borne out in last week against the his mentor, Andy Reid. He even asked Andy Reid conference call about it. There were a lot of questions about Sean to Andy and about Andy to Sean going into last week. And the one word that really kept coming up was consistency. And, you know, Sean will basically tell you the reason why Andy Reid is so liked by his players, respected by his players, is he is consistent. He will make a tough choice, but they'll respect him for it because they understand why he's doing that, and he'll be upfront and honest with them. And I think Sean has taken those cues. Look, you're right. There is a way to go about. I would not call Sean McDermott a player's coach. I wouldn't do that because I agree. I think a player's coach is, hey, I really love playing for this guy, and he kind of lets me be myself. And I'm not saying Sean McDermott does that, but I think Rex Ryan, he does all of that, but he's probably not as consistent either. You know what I mean? He's not as, I think players probably see, you know, in fact, I think there was a quote I read Rex Ryan had said one time, something like he might have been joking or whatever, but it kind of gives you insight. It's the bus leaves, the bus, what is it? Hold on, wait. The bus sticks around for no one, .. unless you're really good. You know what I mean? Like that's, okay, so he's saying like, hey, we're not going to wait on you. Well, you know what? If he's really good, we're going to wait on him, right? Now, and I think that that's what the way Rex Ryan approached it, which, and I've always said this, the difference. To me, there's a big difference between Rex and Sean McDermott in this regard. And I noticed this really kind of right away, which is I think Rex Ryan really values like his star players and what they can bring to the table. And he's going to make sure they're ready to go and all of that. And I don't believe, and I always felt, and I've said this before on the record, I don't think Rex Ryan necessarily and his staff coached the bottom end of the roster nearly the same because it was about the star players and those guys, you know, making sure that they do what they're supposed to do and we'll be okay. That is not the philosophy of Sean McDermott at all. Sean McDermott and his coaching staff believe in coaching every single player. The back end of the roster is extremely important because those guys are going to have to play for you at some point. And those guys are going to have to, it's not about necessarily even favoritism and that kind of thing. It's about we're building a team and they're part of the team. And I don't care if you're the star guy or the 53rd guy, you might cost us a game if you're not up to speed on what we're supposed to do. And I think that's a big difference in how these guys approach their jobs. And I think players recognize that and they understand that. And they feel because of that, that no matter where they fall on the roster, they're important to Sean McDermott.
Well, you want to go Bulldog here? I mean, I like the conversation. I wish it were an hour longer.
Yeah, no, I'm getting tempted to like sort of, well, so what's the news today? Is there anything?
I know. Well, can I just say then, because you're right to have that instinct, I think, but it's tough. Like Rex is the comparison because Rex was the last coach, but he's on the extreme, right? I mean, you talk about consistency or lack thereof or player's coach. Like Rex Ryan is maybe one of the first football coaches you would think of who was that way anywhere, not just the Bills. And maybe McDermott is the same thing on the other end. And I mean, I don't think one is right or one is wrong, right? You have a lot of guys.
Agreed.
You know, and it's 50 plus guys on the roster. And there are times when the coach who's the player's coach needs to use discipline. And there's probably times when the other coach, the McDermott type coach, has to maybe bend the rules for somebody. You know, like, I don't know. Sure. That's probably happened, right? He's in his fourth year.
Well, look, Mike, I think a lot of times I'll draw on my experience as a teacher, which is when I was a high school teacher and I had 30 kids in my classroom. You know, it's on me to make sure that I'm understanding each individual personality and how to connect to them. And sometimes you get it wrong. And, you know, you have certain rules, right? Here's the rules for the classroom. You can't touch someone. You know, you can't yell, right? Raise your hand when you want to talk. But guess what? If Johnny over here has a really big issue and I need to deal with him, I might have to do it in a way different way than I have to with Tommy over here, right? And I think that's, to me, the sign of a great coach is how you can understand that and make sure that you can navigate through that. It's the same thing when people say to me all the time, they need a screamer or they need a guy who's not. Look, Tony Dungy didn't scream at people. He was a great coach and won a Super Bowl, right? Mike Ditka, he did scream at people. He also was a great coach and won a Super Bowl. I mean, there is not one way to do it. To me, it's about managing personalities is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. So news today, anything encouraging, anything discouraging, anything we need to know from it was a pretty light looking workout, right?
It was, yeah. The rain came down a little bit. They had, I think, maybe a jog through, I guess, because they didn't have, you know, helmet and shoulder pads and things like that. And it is just a couple of days after their game on Monday, so I think they want to get them to get their legs back and their body back and things like that. John Brown did not practice today. We don't know exactly where that stands. You know, we'll see this week. Matt Milano, he was limited today. Cam Lewis was limited. I feel so bad for that kid. I mean, first play of the game, I noticed he went up and he tried to jack up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he kind of came up with his arm was kind of hanging. He went back out there a little bit. He comes out later, and then he has to go to the locker room. Now today he had it looked like an oven mitt. He was wrapped up so much on his wrist, but he was out there, you know. And I just give him a lot of credit for, you know, trying to fight through whatever it is. Yeah. Terrell Dodson did not practice with the hamstring.
Brown, you texted me, and I know you said this on the broadcast of the game Monday night. Brown looked hindered most of Monday night, right?
Yes, he did. And, you know, there is a point where you say, like, is someone hurting the team? And you never want to say, like, I don't know. That's not for me to decide. That's for John Brown's body and the coaches to decide and things like that. But he could not get away from people. He just couldn't. And I know he wanted to battle. And I don't know. What I don't know was I didn't notice it on the first couple of plays. I wasn't watching for it. After the flea flicker, I did notice it, yeah. And that was early on. So I don't know if he got hurt on that play, like re-aggravated something, but something wasn't right with him from that time on at least.
Sal, thanks. Very interesting conversation as usual.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.